Hare Krishna, I welcome everybody to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Keshavananda Prabhuji to enlighten us on topic Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, 29th chapter, 12, 13 and 14th verses. I think Prabhuji is not yet there on the call. Before that, I would like to hand over the call to Chaya Mataji to read the verse. Hare Krishna Chaya Mataji, please accept my humble obeisances. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Guru Maharaj ki jai. Thank you Mataji for joining and giving your association. Thank you so much for your service Mataji. Please read the verse Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Vinita Mataji. Thank you so much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Guru Maharaj. Dandavat Pranam Mataji. Hare Krishna. We're reading from Canto 4, Chapter 29. Talks between Narada and King Prachina Barhi. Text 12. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Apano Vyavaharotra Chitram Andho Bahudanam Pitruhur Dakshina Karna Uttaro Devahu Smritaha. Translation. The city called Apana represents engagement of the tongue in speech, and Bahudana is the variety of foodstuffs. The right ear is called the gate of Pitruhu, and the left ear is called the gate of Devahu. Text 13. Pravrittam cha nivrittam cha shastram panchala samnitam pitriyanam devayanam shrotrachutta dharad vrajet. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Narada Muni continued, the city spoken of as Dakshina Panchala represents the scriptures meant for directing pravritti, the process of sense enjoyment in fruitive activities. The other city named Uttara Panchala represents the scriptures meant for decreasing fruitive activities and increasing knowledge. The living entity receives different kinds of knowledge by means of 2 years, and some living entities are promoted to Pitruloka and some to Devaloka. All this is made possible by the 2 ears. Purport. The Vedas are known as Shruti, and the knowledge received from them through oral reception is called Shrutadhara. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, one can be promoted to the planets of the demigods or to the planets of the Pitas, forefathers, or even to the Vaikuntha planets, simply through the process of hearing. These things have already been explained in previous chapters. Text 14. Asuri medhram arvagdwar vyavayo graminam ratihi upastho durmada prokto nirtirguda uchyate. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The city called Gramaka, which is approached through the lower gate of Asuri, the genital, is meant for sex, which is very pleasing to common men who are simply fools and rascals. The faculty of procreation is called Durmada, and the rectum is called Nirti. Purport. When the world becomes degraded, civilization becomes demonic, and for the common man, the rectum and the genital are taken very seriously as the centers of all activity. Even in such a sacred place as Vrindavana, India, unintelligent men pass off this rectal and genital business as spiritual activity. Such people are called Sahajiya. According to their philosophy, through sexual indulgence, one can elevate oneself to the spiritual platform. From these verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, however, we understand that the desires for sexual satisfaction are meant for the arvak, the lowest among men. To rectify these rascals and fools is very difficult. After all, the 6 desires of the common man are condemned in these verses. The word Durmada means wrongly directed, and nirti means sinful activity. Although this clearly indicates that sex indulgence is abominable and misdirected even from the ordinary point of view, the Sahajiyas nonetheless pass themselves off as devotees conducting spiritual activities. For this reason, Vrindavana is no longer visited by intelligent men. Sometimes we are often asked why we have made our center in Vrindavana. From the external point of view, it can be concluded that Vrindavana has become degenerate due to these Sahajiya activities. Yet from the spiritual point of view, Vrindavana is the only place where all these sinful persons can be rectified by means of taking birth in the form of dogs, hogs, and monkeys. By living in Vrindavana as a dog, hog, or monkey, the living entity can be elevated to the spiritual platform in the next life. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mataji.
Yeah. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
You can hear me properly?
Yes, yes, Prabhuji, we can hear you.
Okay. I'll just bring it down. Om Agyana Atimirandasya Okay, so this is 4th Canto, 29th chapter, 12, 13, and 14th verse. In this verse, as we can see, Srila Prabhupada is very heavy in the purport of text 14. I would like to just discuss this text 14 first. And probably we are not going to finish this off. But anyway, before that, Narad Muni is saying, Narad Muni is actually in 14th verse, Narad Muni says that there are two ways, pravritti and nivritti. Let's see where is the 14th verse. Yeah, 13th verse, sorry. Pravrittim cha nivrittim cha, Narad Muni says, Shastram panchala sangitam. Pitrayan devyan shotra shruta dharavat praje. Narad Muni says that there are two ways, pravrittim nivrittim. Now, this concept of pravrittim and nivrittim, Devarshi Narad depicts it as two cities, Dakshin panchal and Uttar panchal. It's allegory, but what does this mean? Well, these words come in Bhagavad Gita. Pravrittim cha nivrittim cha ye jana anavidu asuraha. Krishna says in 16th chapter that pravritti and nivritti, demoniac people do not understand this. What is pravritti, what is nivritti? These words also come in Manu Samhita, where Manu, he uses his word. Manu says in Manu Samhita, pravrittim tu dharma, nivrittim tu mahaphalam. Something like this. Manu Samhita, Manu says, Manu says, pravritti is, there are two paths in Vedas. One is pravritti, one is nivritti. Vritti means engagement. Pra means engagement in sense enjoyment, fruitive activities. And nivritti means disengagement from fruitive activities, or Prabhupada translates as process of detachment. Manu says in Vedas offer these two processes. Vedas says, okay, there is one process, pravritti, like for example, varnashrama dharma. External varnashrama dharma, where people are doing their duties for some attainment. Or maybe if you see Vedas are offering, recommending many yajnas, or worship of any demigods, for keeping a health good. For example, you worship sun god for your health. Or maybe you worship Agni to get a lot of tej and ojas. So like this. Or maybe you do yajnas for getting a child, maybe some vrata, for getting happiness or removing obstacles, or Shiv Ganesh, so and so and so. So this is called Pravritti Marg. Pravritti Marg, where desires of people are fulfilled through the process of Vedic knowledge, through the true Shastras. So they are happy, okay, our desires are fulfilled. At the same time, we are also fulfilling our desires. And we are also following the Vedas. We are not atheist. So in that sense, that is called Pravritti. But Manu says, Nivritti tu Mahaphalam. But the path of detachment, that gives a very great results, Mahaphalam. And what does that Nivritti power give? That gives spiritual word, attainment of spiritual word. God. God cannot be attained through the path of Pravritti. God can be attained through the path of Nivritti. Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga. A path which is full of detachment. Vidya, full of knowledge. And of course, knowledge and detachment, it supplements, it complements devotion. It supports devotion. That is Nivritti. That's why these are the two parts, Pravritti and Nivritti. Krishna says in Mahavita, Pravritti cha Nivrittim cha yena vidu cha asura. Demoniac people, they do not understand either of these. Pravritti and Nivritti, they neither will accept Nivritti Marg, they will neither accept Pravritti Marg, which is, by the way, 14th verse. 14, Krishna says, Narad Muni says, Asurim. He uses the word Asuri. Krishna says the same thing in 16th chapter. Asurim. They don't know what is Pravritti. They reject Vedas outright. They don't want to fulfill their desires through Vedic knowledge. They don't want to have to do anything with Vedas. They doubt Vedic knowledge. They are skeptics. Just like today's philosophers and scientists. They don't want to do anything with Vedic knowledge. Just give me a minute. I'll upload it. Okay. But we got this.
So
these people do not have to do anything with Vedic knowledge. They reject outright Veda. So they are called Asuras. Now the difference between Asuras, demoniac people, and divine people is this. Although divine people, they might have desires, but they want to follow Vedic scriptures and God to fulfill those desires. Like for example, demigods. If you go to demigods, if you go to heavenly planet, who goes to heavenly planet? You can't go up. Urdham gacchanti satvastha. You can't go up unless you accept Vedas and you accept Vishnu is supreme. You can't go up. You can't go up in heavenly planet just by doing pious activities. That's not possible. Either you have to be on Pravritti Marg or you have to be on Nivritti Marg to go up. But in both paths, one thing is common, that they accept Vedic knowledge. They accept Shastras, they follow Shastras, and they accept God. And they're clear, God is Vishnu. So that's why you see many people who do pious activities on this earth, who are doing good things, but they don't accept scriptures, they are very confused who is God. Some pious people, they might not even recognize God or accept God. They don't go to heavenly planets. Although you see many people say, oh, he was a good man, he died, and on his on the card they say Swargvasi, he have gone to heaven. It's all nonsense, crap. There are just two conditions you can go up. Satvastha, you have to be on the platform mode of goodness. Mode of goodness is characterized by Vatatra Satvam Nirmalatvat Prakashamkam Anamayam. Mode of goodness is characterized by Prakashakam. There should be scriptural knowledge. Anamayam, there should be no sins. They should accept God, Vishnu, as supreme. and then you can go up. So in heavenly planets, if you go, you will find many Gandharvas, Yakshas, who have material desires. We see Ishi Devarshi Narad's previous life. He was Hu Gandharva. And he had material desires. He was enjoying with Apsaras in his previous life as Gandharva. Or you see so in Bhagavatam, Nalakubar, Manigri, they were enjoying with females in heavenly planets. They have desires, but then what they did so that they went to heavenly planets? They did some pious activities. Of course, but that's not sufficient. They did some pious activities according to scriptures. That's very important, not by their mental speculation. Pravritti mark. And by doing the pious activities, they hope that they will elevate themselves to heavenly planets. They will have some benefits. And they were clear Vishnu is supreme. They were not confused about God. That's very important. So we have to understand what is Pravritti mark, Nivritti mark. Pravritti mark is not just path of sense enjoyment and you're doing sense enjoyment unrestrictedly. And then that's very different. Unrestricted sense enjoyment is Asuri mark. That's not Pravritti mark. That's Asuri mark. And that's why in previous verse, Narad Muni says, these people who are on Pravritti mark or Nivritti mark, they either go to Pitrlok or go to Devlok. He says, can be Prabhupada says, one can be promoted to planets of demigods or to planet of Pitras or even to Vaikuntha planet simply by a process of hearing. If you hear Nivritti mark, you go to Vaikuntha. If you hear about Pravritti mark, you either go to Pitri Lok where you enjoy, or you go to heavenly planets. So where again you enjoy. So that's the whole point there. So that's a very important distinction. Pravritti Marg is not Asuri Marg. Pravritti Marg is regulated sense enjoyment. Asuri Marg is unrestricted sense enjoyment. That's a difference. Pravritti Marg will take you up. Asuri Marg will take you down into hellish planets or hellish life where it's just sense enjoyment, that's all. And sins. Pravritti Marg will relieve you of sins because it is regulated sense enjoyment. But Asuri Marg will implicate you in sins. That's very important. That's why Narad Muni in text 14, he says Pravritti Marg, Nivritti Marg. Text 14, he says, okay, there is another third path. Asuri Marg, which will take you down. And what is this Asuri Marg? Asuri Marg is Asuri Medram Arvakdwar. Okay, this Marg, this path, it is for Arvak, it is for fools and rascals. Now, Narad Muni says, what is this Medram? These people on this path, for them, the most important organ is genitals. Because the point is they are just interested in sex. So who are these people? Who are these people? Okay, let's talk. Can you find such kind of people, Asuri people, on this planet? Yes. People who were in this Aryavrat in India. Aryavrat. They were either on Pravritti or Nivritti. Because they were following Vedas. People who didn't follow Vedas, who rejected Vedas, they were sent out of Aryavrat. And then they populated all the Central Asia, Greek and Europe, and they became Malecha and Yavan. They are Asura, they are demoniac people. Malechas and Yavan. Yavan means who are interested in yawn. Yawn means sex. Malecha means who are interested in dirt. Dirt means this materialistic concept of life. That's Malecha and Yavan. Malecha, who simply interested in Mal. Srila Prabhupada mentions here. So Malecha is, so these people are either, so these people are either Durmada, that means Prabhupada says wrongly directed, just like Malechas, or maybe for example European civilization, completely materialistic civilization. They're also interested. These people are also medialistic civilization, of course, based on sex and lust. But if you see the history, European history, these people were actually interested in materialistic advancement. And that's why you see European history is full of enlightenment, scientific revolution, industrial revolution, renaissance, and all these materialistic concepts and all this logic. They're simply interested in speculation. They're not interested in soul. They're not interested in all these concepts. Although they had some kind of philosophies, but that was not actually given importance. And that's why you see Europe, there's a concept, the Dark Ages and Enlightenment. So they say Enlightenment began the 14th century. Before that, it was Dark Ages. Why? Because people used to believe in God. That's why it was dark. Although scripture says God is light, but that was dark because it was all superstition. It was all nonsense. It was spiritual. Spiritual means darkness, according to them. This is demoniac people, Malech. They like dirt. They don't like light. And then they say science began and scientific revolution began and we got light. Suddenly there was enlightenment. Actually, it was darkness, according to us. It was Malech. And so these people are called Durmada, wrongly directed. They were intelligent. Prabhupada went to America and Prabhupada said to Americans, you people are so intelligent, but you're using your intelligence in a wrong way. So this is called Durmada. Mada means, basically means madness. Dur means wrong. Mada, or you can say it's a mad condition where they think that they are on the right path, but actually, if you see, they're just going opposite of the goal of the life. But they think it's right, wrongly directed. So it's madness, durmada. It is a bad madness. Mada means madness. Dur means bad. It's not even good madness. Good madness means somebody wants to pursue a spiritual life and he gets crazy for achieving his spiritual goals. People say he's mad, but he says he's in a good sense he's mad. But these in a bad sense they are mad. So wrongly directed, durmada. So materialistic civilization is wrongly directed. That's the whole point. They become so mad that they think right is wrong, wrong is right. So according to them, Dark Ages was dark because there's God. And Enlightenment is a period where there's no God. This is nonsense crap. And then there is Nirriti, sinful activities. So and then other group of people are Yavanas, who are like Central Asia people. So all these people in Central Asia, which is now Turkey, Iraq, Iran, and all these people, Persia, which was called as Persia, between Europe and India, the whole land there, that was full of Yavanas. The first Yavana who came to India was Kalyavan, who Jarasand contacted to kill Krishna, and he called him from that point, part Central Persia there, which was like Ottoman empires and all those things. So all these people were Yavanas. Why? Because they were simply interested in sex. They were not even interested in materialistic advancement. They were interested. You read the history. You read the history of Islam. Before Prophet Muhammad, before Prophet Muhammad, what people were doing in Central Persia. In Europe, before Prophet Muhammad, what was happening? It was blooming with inventions and it was bullying in materialistic advancement. But what people were doing before Prophet Muhammad in Central Persia, they were barbarians. They were simply interested in sex, that's all. They were using women as a toy to do sexual activities. That was their aim of life, that's all. These are called Yavanas. They are interested in yawn, sex.
And Narad Muni says, these people are nirriti. They are sinful people. Their whole direction is complete sin, that is sexual activity. So, this is Asuri Mark. This is Asuri Mark, which is leading to Durmada, Nirriti, or maybe you can say, you can say to lower gates of a body. And ultimately, what was the base of all these things? Base of all these things is Vyavyayo. Vyavyayo means ultimately the base is sex, lust. Why do you want, why do they want material advancement? Srila Prabhupada says they want to go to moon. And so intelligent, make so much complex machinery and rockets, and finally they go to moon, suppose. And they make colonies there, suppose. They go to Mars, they make colonies. There's so much propaganda of going to Mars. Elon Musk, he's saying, so we are making special space shuttles to go to Mars. Okay, you go to Mars, fine. But then what do you do there? Eat, sleep, and do sex, that's all. Prabhupada says, what's the point of going to Mars? Or going to anywhere? We're doing the same thing. So that's the base. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, when he defines demoniac people, ki manyat kama hai tukam. That verse is their eighth. I think that verse is ki manyat kama hai tukam. Apratishtam was that verse. Apratishtam te jagad ahuranishwaram. Asatyam apratishtam te jagad ahuranishwaram. Aparaspara sambhutam ki manyat kama hai tukam. Is Bhagavad Gita verse in 16th chapter. Krishna says, who are these demonic people? Ke manyat kama hitukam. What else is there except sex? In fact, when Bhakti Santa sent these devotees from Gaudiya Math to preach in Europe, especially London, Subhan Maharaj was there, other devotees were there. Bhakti Santa sent twice. He sent his devotees twice. So the mission 1, mission 2, both of them failed. And then finally Prabhupada, after Bhaktisiddhanta, Prabhupada went and he was successful. But both failed. Why? Because all of them, they came back to Bhaktisiddhanta and they said, well, we told people, you please follow Krishna consciousness, follow these four regulatory principles. And we told them, they asked, okay, so we told them, we can make you brahmanas. And they are, so we want to become brahmanas. So how to become? So they say, okay, simple. Four things you have to do. No meditating, no gambling, no speculation, no illicit sex. And one person then raises his hand. He said, if you aren't supposed to do these four things, then what else is left in life? There's nothing to do. Life, it's like a dead person. They couldn't imagine life without sex. They couldn't imagine without meditating. This is called demonic civilization. This is called Malecha and Yavanas. And these people are out of Vedic bounds, Shastric bounds. You see, this kind of mentality is very pervasive now. Even India, Indians, everywhere people have become demoniac. They've rejected scriptures. They don't want to follow. I mean to say, what to talk about? Rules and regulations according to scriptures. What do you talk about doing sense enjoyment according to scriptures or regulated sense enjoyment? What do you talk about that? They don't want to follow any rules and regulations, not just Vedic, but even society. And Prabhupada, when there was hippie movement, that was hippie movement all about. Hippies. You don't want to follow any rules and regulations, let alone scriptures. Forget that. Not even government, not even constitution. This is revolted. That's modern youths. And then there was hippie movement subsided, and then there came another movement, Yippies. 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 And Yippie said, well, if we don't follow any rules and regulations of society, then we have to just hang around like nonsense people. We don't have money. How to earn? We don't have food. We're just lodging around the streets. So after hippies, they became yippies. Yes, they said, okay, let's do little yes to the society. Why for yes, little yes to the society. And and all these things, these modern youths now, modern youths are all EPs. These are working, but in their heart, they still maintain this concept. They're to hell with all these rules and regulations, constitution, common, we'll do whatever we want. Just for money, we are following something. These rules and regulations, it's all nonsense. And this then, yippies then in modern world has created another movement, which is called as liberalism. Be free. And the protagonist and the acharya of liberalism is for example Ayn Randi. She said, well, don't follow anything, and she made a philosophy out of it. Liberalism, she made a whole philosophy. She gave a rationality for liberalism. Why shouldn't we follow anything? Don't follow anything. And then, so in America, there was this anarchist. I forgot her name. She was very famous. She also said the same thing. So they are making a philosophy out of these demoniac concepts. You can imagine such kind of degradation. At least Malaysia and Yavanas, they were good. At least they didn't have philosophy to back up their claims. Simply do sex, enjoy, and meat eating. They didn't have any backup for that. But now they are such a demoniac people. They are making philosophies to support their views or to support their demoniac views. Oh, sex is good. Meat eating is good. Following no one is good. Anarchy. Anarchist. People were called as anarchist. Anarchist. They said, this female, Emily in America. She said, it's good. We don't follow anything. No rules and regulations, and that day everybody will be happy, it will be prosperous, and people will enjoy. Otherwise, we are being suppressed and we can't fulfill our own desires, our own dreams. They don't want to use the word desires, they want to use the word dreams. You can't fulfill your dreams, and then people get mad, you know. We can't fulfill our dreams. All youths are like that. All youths are like that. New age, they call us new age. New age liberalists. People from hippies, they went to EPs. Hippies, they went to liberals. From liberals, they went to liberals with some philosophy. And they called new age. New age liberals. This is all what is happening. Now, having said this, Prabhupada, in the purport, he brings all these ideas in the realm of spirituality. Prabhupada is commenting the prophet. Now all these ideas are also coming in spiritual realm. Spiritual realm in the world, so in the sense in spiritual institutions all around the world. And people who are in religion, these concepts have infiltrated. These concepts have actually infiltrated these demoniac concepts. Prabhupada gives the example of Sahijyas. Well, you know what Bhaktisiddhanta used to say, if you don't have proper consciousness, Vrindavan is the most dangerous place to go. And Prabhupada writes here, Vrindavan is no longer visited by intelligent man. Prabhupada says, no longer visited by intelligent man. Because Vrindavan is a dangerous place, what Vrindavan said. If you go there, there's so many ideas, so many different philosophies, all demoniac concepts, but backed up by Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. Misinterpretation of Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. Misinterpretation of scriptures. And these are called Sahijyas. Prabhupada says Sahijyas are people who are demons, actually, who have demoniac concept, who actually want to enjoy sex in the name of spirituality. And that's why you go, you see Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he once went off for actually Vrajmandal Parikrama. And after that, he came and he was just putting his head on his this hand on his head, and he said, I didn't find even a single Vaishnava. And then devotees were shocked. They said, come on, what is this? Raj Mandal Parakrama, everybody is a devotee here. You go to Vrindavan, everybody is a devotee. So then these devotees, they were shocked. They were shocked. They didn't accept this blank point. So they asked Bhakti Santa, so they asked about a person who was very famous in Vrindavan, who used to chant like 3 lakh names. He used to give katha. He could speak katha on Bhagavatam for one verse on 3 months. He was a very famous Babaji, Ramdas Babaji. So they asked this Siddh Babaji is there, so many disciples. And whenever he speaks, tears comes in his eyes and he faints. And then he can't speak. That's where, because of fear of fainting, he even doesn't attend Bhagavatam Kathas. And what do you say about him? Bhakti Sandhya said, he's a Kanishtha Dikadi. And then he said, no, he's an infant class. Bhakti Sandhya, he said that. Then they asked, about this Babaji, and they all are useless. So that is Bhakti Siddhanta. And he said the fact that he's showing his tears, this proves he's infant class. Red devotees, they don't show their tears, their symptoms. They hide as much as possible, to whatever extent. And even if the symptoms come in public or even alone, they doubt how these tears are coming in my eyes. I'm so sinful. It is impossible I will have tears in my eyes. That mood is Yatrinagati Sunichena. It is impossible for me to have tears. These are false tears. Radharani says, Prem Gandha Shunya. I don't have even, Srimati Radharani doesn't say, in Chaitanya Charitamrita it comes, I don't have love. She says, I don't have even a scent of love. And when she experiences love, she doubts, what, I've become mad. It's impossible. She doesn't become happy. Doubts. But sahajas, oh yeah, yeah. We are having tears. And they're showing also. People are respecting, no problem. So that's sahajas. Sahajas. So for neophytes, it's very difficult to identify sahajas. That's why Bhakti Sandhya said it's the most dangerous place to go. And that's why you see even our devotees, they go to Vrindavan and they say, oh, the Vrindavan is so nice. Everybody is a devotee. It is a stupid thing. I mean to say, people in Vrindavan, they go to eat, they go and buy anything from any shop, and then they ask, why are you buying anything from any shop? They say, this is Vrindavan. Everybody is a devotee. In Vrindavan, in Kartik, you go, so many people are eating. Right in front of ISKCON, there is a pizza and pasta shop. And people go and eat pizza and pasta, or maybe milk and tea, kachoris, they eat. Probably you might have also eaten Vrindavan. Go to any shop, because everybody is a devotee in Vrindavan. This is complete nonsense. Everybody is not a devotee. Even a devotee is not a devotee according to Bhakti Siddhanta in Vrindavan. You should have spiritual discrimination to understand who is a devotee, who is not a devotee. Otherwise, what's the use of Mahaprabhu's movement? Mahaprabhu didn't come to just tell us that don't discriminate. And I mean to say, okay, aman in aman dena. Don't respect everybody. Don't honor respect. Respect even non-devotees. Respect even cheats. Respect even sahijas. That's what Mahaprabhu has come to teach us. That's the whole point. Then why so much philosophy? Why so many sandarbhas? Why so many books of Srila Prabhupada? And it would have been very simple. But it's not that simple. It's simple, but application is not that simple. And if you don't want to apply, that's another thing. Then you also become sahajas. So that's what Prabhupada is mentioning, that all these demoniac concepts are also entering spiritual places, spiritual people, spiritual institutions. Who is a Vaishnava, who is a non-Vaishnava, who is a Vaishnava. Bhakti Santa wrote a poem, Vaishnav K. And he's writing, and in his book he's writing, oh, this is not a Vaishnava, this is not a Vaishnava, this is not a Vaishnava. Like this, Bhakti Santa also wrote a book on sahajas. And whole book is full of no, 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 this is not devotion, this is not devotion, this is not devotion, this is not devotion. These are 100 points. This is not. You might think Bhakti Santa has gone crazy. This is not devotion. Isn't then what is devotion? After reading the book, you'll go mad. What is devotion? If this 100 points, you say this is not devotion, then I can't even imagine what's devotion. According to Bhakti Santa, if you chant more rounds, he says this is just counting the beads. He says, well, I should not chant more rounds if this is not devotion. According to Bhakti Santa, if you read more books, he says this is not devotion. This is just accumulating information. And he says, I should not read books. And what should I do? So that's, no, you chant and you read books with proper mood and proper attitude. That was his point there. Not with Asuri Subhav. Not with this demoniac concept of freedom from all rules and regulations. Not with this demoniac concept of getting something in return or doing sense gratification under the cover of spirituality. Not with these demoniac concepts. Otherwise, Durmata Nirviti. I think these two words are very important, Durmata and Nirviti. Wrongly directed and sinful activity. Narada Muni is saying, Bhakti Santa used to say, Prabhupada quoted Bhakti Santa, that selfishness in devotional service is not only harmful, but also destructive. I think one of the small books, Prabhupada quotes Bhakti Santa. Selfishness means demoniac concept. Selfishness is lust, in other words. Lust in subtle form is selfishness. The lust at core is selfishness. And that selfishness then presents itself in various forms of sex, which is gross, of pride, which is subtle. You see? So selfishness. So it is not, selfishness in devotional life is not only harmful but destructive. Even in bhakti, if you are selfish, it's not just harmful but destructive. It's not just durmada but nirriti. It's not just, if you're doing some devotional service with even a small amount of selfishness to attain something for yourself in form of some rewards or in form of expecting happiness and peace, then Bhakti Santa says it's harmful. Why? Because you will not attain your goal of love of God. You will not attain. The path of devotion, or you can only attain love when you don't expect anything, not even happiness and peace. I mean to say, you don't even expect anything. You even start expecting the unexpected. And then you can get love. Ashli Shiva Padratam Pinashtuam Adarshanam. You don't expect that Krishna will not give you darshan if you do nice devotion. You don't expect that. Krishna will not actually give you his own darshan. He will not reveal himself to you if you do nice devotion. You expect if you do nice devotion, Krishna will reveal his form, qualities, pastimes. Am I right? Prabhupada says, chant nicely and he will reveal. But what Mahaprabhu is saying, I expect that you might not give your darshan. You might not reveal anything to me. This is what I expect. And then you can get love. So it's not the question of not expecting anything. It's question you're expecting something unexpected. Anything Krishna can do. And we should be ready. And then we can attain love. So you see, it's not just how selfishness in devotional life is not just harmful, but also destructive, sinful. If you're selfish, then one point or the other in your life, you will commit an offense. We will commit an offense. Nobody can save us. We will sooner or later commit an offense. Because selfishness is a seed of offense. A tree of offense. If you see a tree of, if you see a big tree, there has to be a seed from where the tree is coming. So that seed will fructify one day. If you plant a mango seed, it will become a tree one day. So if you have even little selfishness, one day it will become a tree of your offenses and will fall down. That's all finished. So Krishna says, no, no, leave this selfishness. Tadartham karma kaantya. Do everything for me, not for yourself. Yagyarthat karma nyanatra lokoyam karma bandhana. If you do anything for yourself, anything in thoughts or deeds, or even in devotional life, even devotion if you do for yourself, you will have bondage. And that's why Mahaprabhu says, don't even ask for liberation from birth and death. Mama janmani janmaneshwari. What do you want? You want birth and release? No, 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 I don't want anything for myself. Please don't do. In fact, even if Krishna gives you something, don't accept some material offer. Krishna will test. He will give you something material, but don't accept. Don't accept. Krishna, 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 why are you cheating me? You're giving me temptations. I know. You're trying to seduce me. You're trying to. Krishna will do that, but you say no. I'm not doing your service for some reward. That's the whole point there. That is devotion all about. Even devotion, we are not doing so that somebody notices or he gets an award. We are doing devotion. Even if your devotion, your entire life, it goes unnoticed. Nobody notices. And there is no reward of any kind. Not even peace and happiness. Still we will keep on doing. Because we know that shows extreme faith, and that will please God, Krishna. That's the whole point which Prabhupada is trying to actually give an indication through the term sahijya. And we have to keep in mind, these demoniac concepts, they also enter our devotional life, and we have to be very careful of that. And how to identify these demoniac concepts? Just by keeping one point in mind, selfishness. If you find any bare selfishness, you're going on the wrong path. You're going on an asuri path. Demoniac concept. That will lead to sins and offenses. So it might come in a way which you might not even recognize. That's the whole problem. See, sahijyas, if you are sahijyas, are you sahijyas? They'll say no. We are not sahijyas. You're nonsense. It's your term. It's not our term. We are perfectly correct. We are doing the right thing. You are nonsense. So anybody does anything, they do because they think it's right. I'm right, otherwise they'll not do. So that's the whole point there. So it's very difficult to know that I'm selfish in some devotional activity because we think I'm doing right. If you were already thinking it's not right, then why will you do? Why will you keep doing? Am I right? So that's the whole problem, to identify selfishness. And that requires mercy and association of devotees. So people say, so why do we require association of devotees? We can sit in our homes, read our Bhagavatam, and make notes and whatever, and just attend some programs and be happy. No, you require continuous association, not just one-time association. Continuous. Why? Because continuously the world is changing. The situations are changing. And you need to, and when situations change continuously, they have a continuous, different, changing effect on your life. Every situation in your life is not the same. It's almost like one Buddhist saying, you don't step in the same river twice. You don't step in the same river twice. So the meaning of this saying is, so if you go to a river and if you put one step in the river, you put one step in the river. So by the time you put another step, the river flows and it's not the same water. It's a different water. So by the time you put the third step, it's different water. So every time the water is changing. So you don't put the you don't put your step twice in the same river. That's the saying. Every time the water keeps on shifting. It's not the same water. So that's the whole idea there. every time your situations in life is changing, people how they view you, they changes, and how Krishna views you, it changes, because situations are changing. How you react to situation, Krishna is seeing every second. And that's why you need continuous association to know, in this situation I'm selfish or not, in the next situation I'm selfish or not. So you can't make a blueprint out of it. Okay, there's selfishness, this is what is selfishness, and I'll not be selfish. Well, situations are changing and your reaction to situations is changing every time. And how you react, that will decide whether you are selfish or not selfish. You see the point there? If you have demonic concepts, you will react in a selfish way. If you have divine concepts, you will react in a selfless way. And that's why we need association to actually warn us that don't react in a selfish way. Don't react in a selfish way. Otherwise, we'll harm ourselves, we'll destroy ourselves. So that's this whole verse all about. I think, I've spoken a lot about, I've spoken many things there. I think I like to stop here. Is there any questions or any comments? I'll just finish here by saying, be careful, be alert. Don't take spirituality so light. Like sahaja. Sahaja means light. Sahaja means easy going. Don't take it easy going. Yagya sakirtane praya jantihi sumedasa. This is for the most intelligent people. This spirituality. Here by intelligence, I don't mean you need some intellectual scholarly capacity, you know. But intelligent people means you can discriminate between right and wrong. Asuri and Daivi. That's 16th chapter. Krishna says, good qualities, this is Daivi. Bad qualities, this is demoniac. You can understand the discrimination between them. That is intelligence. Who is a devotee, who is not a devotee? Who is a demon in the form of a devotee? And who is a devotee in the form of a demon? Vritrasur. Am I right? Indra could recognize Vritrasur. When Vritrasur started speaking, actually praising God, the Lord, in these four verses and other verses, then Indra said, my God, such a great devotee. He was dumbstruck to see Vritrasur speak like that. And Vritrasur said, well, Indra, you just kill me quickly. I'll go back to Godhead. You are going to rot here in this material world as Indra. And Indra was saying, come on, what is this? Even if I win this, and even if I kill Vritrasur, still Vritrasur wins. Because devotees, name bhakta praneshati, devotees cannot lose. Even if they lose, they win. But he was a true devotee. That's the whole point. So, he could see Indra is not a pure devotee. He was not saying, oh Indra, you're a pure devotee. Everybody is a pure devotee. Everybody is nice and good. No. He could see and he said, Indra, you finish me off. Actually, your association is bad. Your association. I don't want your association. I want to go back to spiritual world. And I don't want to be in this demoniac body. Difficult to do devotion in this demoniac body. You see the point there? So we're talking about demoniac body, but then we're talking about demoniac world, talking about demoniac institutions, spiritual institutions which have demoniac concepts, just like church. Church was completely corrupted. And that is why all these revolutions happened. And people lost faith on church. So let us keep our integrity and keep ourselves pure. And that's the best service we can do to this movement. Keep ourselves pure and keep the message pure. That's the best service we can do for this movement. And then preaching will automatically happen. You'll see. It will automatically happen. That's why it was said, you aim for evolution, revolution will automatically happen. It will happen. So that's the whole point. And how to do that? By keeping our discrimination strong, by reading Prabhupada books, by tasting, by actually having a taste of spirituality. That's the whole point. By leaving sense gratification, by leaving this asuri swabhav, trying to cultivate daiti swabhav, and then we can advance. Anyway, Hare Krishna. Anybody wants to ask anything? I'm done.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dhanvat Pranam. Congratulations to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you, Prabhu, for the wonderful class. It was such a beautiful class that you took with so many points of realization. Prabhu, I don't know whether this would be a little bit off topic, but then this is with respect to what this condition which is going on right now in this corona state, whether it is India or whether it is abroad. But like whatever is going on, earlier it is like some of them feel like, okay, whatever wrong things people have done, it is just coming back to them, and that way things are going on. But then if you see an overall scenario of this, things have not changed. Rather, people are making things favorable for them in this corona situation also, and trying to make things better for themselves at the cost of others. Like whatever I hear now, I'm in India, and when I hear things around, it is the number which India shows is such a fake number because of whatever things are going on. So what will happen to these people who are making things for themselves, better for themselves in this scenario? How will their fate be destined?
Well, anybody who doesn't do devotion, they're all going to hell. That's all. It's simple, whether they're faking or not. Even those people who are like simple people, old people, they're eating their life. They're not trying to make their life more comfortable or less comfortable. They're saying, okay, let's accept whatever is there. Let's keep on going. Anybody, even pious or sinful or good or cheaters, if they're not doing devotion to Krishna, they're going to glide down. Adho tishtanti tamasa. That's all. It's a rule. It's a rule. And if you really... I mean to say, in this time, if you are really, people are sitting in their homes and they're saying, oh, it's my okay, they accept it and then see movies and pastime and it's good. At least we are getting time. I mean, they are getting so many excuses, and then these people glide to more serious hell. That's all. They confuse themselves, confuse others. And this is a time when they should be saying, okay, let's devote ourselves to God. Let's do some spirituality. But things are the other way. These are merely unfortunate people, let's put it like that. Unfortunate. They don't have a proper sense. These are asuri swabhav people. So Krishna decides what will happen according to their intentions. Adhishthana tatha karta karanam chatur. It's not easy to tell in which hell they'll go. But they'll go into hell, that's what we for sure. Because there's nothing to do with God. But which hell to go, that will be decided according to intentions, according to their compassion. If they're more compassionate, they'll go to less serious hell. Okay, let's help others also in this corona period by giving them, by helping them whatever they want to do. It's not bad to help, but the point is, first should be God. And then you can help others. You can also help them by giving them knowledge of God besides helping them. Then that's okay. But without God doing anything, it's waste. Actually, it's waste. So that's how it's. That's not that much I can say.
Yes, Prabhu, it's really hard to digest like how things are there. We can just
pray. Well, it's pray. Really, yeah, we can pray. You see, you know, is the point. Rather than praying for themselves, we should pray for ourselves. How do you pray for others? I mean to say, are we in a situation to pray for them? Are we?
Right.
Are we? We are not even able to handle ourselves. We are ourselves so sinful. I mean to say, we are, in other words, more sinful than them. At least they are sinful, but we are on the path of devotional service, and still we are not able to realize what we have got.
True. Very true.
So yeah, we should pray for ourselves. Krishna, help us to get out of this situation. And if you wish, I mean to say, for them the destiny is locked. You can't do anything. Mm-hmm. So people who come in contact, try to tell them about spiritual life. If they don't accept, okay, what can you do? And wait and see and watch what's going to happen. That's all.
Yes, Prabhu. Thank you, Prabhu. And such a very nice, simple, and such a beautiful class it was. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, Damrat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Guru Maharaj ki jai.
Oh, okay.
So Prabhuji, you said in the beginning that simply by pious activities, souls do not go to the higher planets. But yeah. I had heard in some lecture that just by pious, those who are pious all their lives, they do go to the higher planets. So where is the confusion?
Oh, actually, you know what? If you have, you were in India, no, Pravin, too. So you might have like filled that LIC forms and bank forms, isn't it? So in the bank forms, they say, okay, so you have this insurance policy, so insurance policy, and then you have insurance policy. You get this much money. But then there is a small star there, and if you see down, it will be a condition supply. The insurance is not for an act of God. You see that? No, there. So that's the whole point there. Yeah, pious activities go to heavenly planets, but then there is a star there. And if you see down, it's written, pious activities without God will not take you up. Will take you down. So that's the whole point. Because without recognizing Vishnu, you see, Krishna says in Bhagavata, Krishna says this was yagya arthat karmanyatra lokoyam karma bandhanam. Krishna says in third chapter, if you don't do anything for me, it will just bind you. And not only just bind you, yagya shishtina santo muchyante sarva kilvishaye tetum agham papa ye pachanti atma karanat. Anybody is not doing anything for me, he will be not just bound, he will be implicated in sinful activities. That Krishna says, so all these people who are not accepting Vishnu, they are eating sins. We know they are eating sins. So they are doing sinful activities. So how they will go up? They must go down. I mean to say how much pious activities they can do. And in fact, without Krishna, pious activities are sinful. That's what also this verse, although this verse is, we generally speak this verse for food. Anybody who doesn't offer food in Yagya, we eat just sins. But actually this verse is having a broader implication. Krishna says, anything which is not connected to me, and if they enjoy anything not connected to me, it's all sinful life. So they are, even pious activities which is not connected to me, it will bring sins. You see the point? Activity is pious, but the result is sin. So they'll go down. So in true sense, that's not a pious activity, because activity is pious, but results are sin. True sense pious activity is where activity is pious and the result is also pious. And that will only happen when yagya-shishtashanto muchante sarva kilvishaye. Shishtashina-santo, when anybody is doing something for God, and then he is connected, then he is free from all sinful activities. This is the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise, it doesn't make any sense.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Yeah, it's a big confusion among people. And Madhva Ramanuja, they explain this point in great details, what happens. Dev, the people who go up, they are called Devtas. And Devtas are those people who are having divine qualities. Amazing. 16-17 chapter, Krishna says, Daiva Sampadam. So, and you can develop divine qualities without connecting to Krishna. You can fake them. You can artificially try to do it. But without bhakti, no good quality. Am I right? So that Bhagavatam shloka comes. So what is that shloka, fifth canto? Yasyasi bhaktir bhagavati akinchana. Sarva guna sutra samasati sura. Harao bhakta se kuto mahatkuna manorathena sati dhapato bhai. Anybody is not a devotee of God, Narada Muni says, how can there be any good quality or any good activity? They might do something, good activities, but without devotion, it's all full of, mixed with selfishness. It's all mixed with nonsense ideas. So ultimately it's all sin. That's how we see. But that's how we have to take pious activities, sinful activities. True sense of it is pious activity. With pious rewards and pious intentions. Completely. That can only happen if it is connected to Vishnu. Otherwise, it can't happen. Then it's okay.
So, Christians and Muslims who are also doing pious activities, do they go to the higher planets?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So, if they are true Christians and if they are doing, if they accept their God, Allah or Christ, whatever, as God, and if they are, then they go to heaven. If they're true Christians and true Muslims. Otherwise, they also glide down.
Yes. Thank you, Prabhu.
Okay, any other questions?
Yeah, Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Last, Prabhuji. So, Prabhuji, you said the activity, like even the pious activity without Krishna is like sinful. So, opening hospital and opening schools, are they, what are they? They are.
Yeah, they're all sinful because ultimately you see the point. Activity might seem good. Opening school, hospital, it looks good, it seems good, but the result doesn't come only by activity. You have to see the intention also, and then the reward. So people who open schools and these people who are not devotees, they have selfishness in their mind. Now you might say, no, they don't have selfishness, but how can there be no selfishness? If they're not connected to God, they must be selfish. Either they are doing for themselves or they are doing for their own people. You see the point? Prabhupada brings the point of extended selfishness. For their country. Okay, for my country. I'll not do for Pakistan. I'll do for India. You see the point there? So it is all bodily concept of life. Bodily concept of life means selfishness. Without Krishna, you don't get spiritual life. Without spiritual life, there's bodily concept of life. It's all selfishness. Anywhere where there's selfishness, there's irreligion. There's no religion. So it's all sin. You see, actually, the message of Bhagavad Gita is this. Arjuna's actions are seeming very nice. Arjuna says, I don't want to fight. So many people will die. Krishna, why to kill so many people? And then the whole society will be destroyed. And then we have to kill our spiritual masters. And this is complete nonsense. So his activities externally were looking good. But Krishna says, you're nonsense. You're impotent. You're sinful. It's all sinful. Because it's all selfishness. It's not connected to me. I don't want this and you want that. It's all nonsense. So you lie down, Krishna says. You fight. You go down. And that's why all these activities, normal, ordinary people cannot understand this. But devotees can understand. And even the result will not come good. See, if they open schools and hospitals, what do people do? They come to hospitals, they'll become all right. And then what they'll do? They'll lose it. That's all. And then in their hospitals, all these criminals will also come, terrorists will also come. All these, the fungas, gundas will come. And they will get treated and they will do more. So they'll destroy the world peacefully and healthily. And all these schools, what they are doing. Ultimately, without God, what is happening? People are becoming educated. And then by education, what they are doing. And by education, they are destroying this world by making technology. And the technology is used for military warfare, bombs and all these things. And then by education, they're becoming proud and they're denying God more. You see, all the result is very bad for the society. So they were the cause of this, of these people who actually messed up their life. Then who gets sinful? They have to share that. They have to share it. So it seems good, but if you really analyze and go deep, it's sinful and will implicate people who are doing this in sins and they'll go down. That's all. It's difficult to digest, but it's like that. That's why Prabhupada didn't used to take part in all these activities. Prabhupada said, we don't want to open hospitals and colleges and we are interested in all these things. This is complete crap. Without God, it's of no use. But people didn't accept Prabhupada's words. It's difficult to understand. Without spiritual platform, it's not easy to understand. Like this.
Yes, Prabhuji. Mm-hmm. And Prabhuji, there is a question in chat.
Mm-hmm.
Krishna fulfills the desire of everyone. So if someone with a lot of material desires is trying to cultivate devotional service, are they following Pravritti or Nivritti mark? Is the process of devotional service beyond Pravritti and Nivritti mark? Kindly explain, Prabhu.
Yeah. Actually, you see, Pravritti mark doesn't include devotion. On devotional path, if we have desires and we think Krishna will fulfill desires, then that is not Pravritti. That is Mishrit Bhakti. So Bhakti is mixed with material desires. That is not Shuddha Bhakti. We'll call it as a Mishrit Bhakti. But Pravritti Marg is for the people who are following Vedas, who are actually worshipping demigods for getting some benefit. Like Surya, Agni, Chandra, Varun, which is a typical Vedic method. They're not worshipping God. They're not worshipping God. Because even on Pravritti Marg, people understand, we're not supposed to ask anything from Vishnu. They know Vishnu is God. You're not supposed to ask anything from Vishnu. But we have all material desires. So whom to ask? Oh, demigods. Okay. It's clear to them. That's Pravritti Marg. But devotion is beyond Pravritti and Nivritti. Actually, devotion, you can say, devotion is Nivritti Marg, you can say like that. Not strictly. I mean, so even Nivritti Marg is the path of renunciation. Renounce sense enjoyment. So that is yogis and dhyanis. But devotion is beyond Pravritti and Nivritti, because we are neither interested in asking anything from Vishnu, neither interested in renunciation. We are interested in service. Neither to do with bhog nor to do with tyaga. So all the Nivritti Marg is Mahafalam, yogi, dhyanis. If you leave sense gratification, you will get siddhis and powers and even liberation. But we are not interested. We are beyond, devotion is beyond Nivritti and Pravritti. Anybody who has desires on devotional path, that is Mishrit Bhakti. Anybody who is interested in renunciation on devotional path, I mean to say dry renunciation. Renunciation which doesn't help to increase our service attitude, and that is also Mishrit Bhakti. Bhakti is service. You do everything for service of God without any expectations or any rewards. If renunciation is helpful, we take renunciation, but never desires. We that we want to fulfill. So that's the difference there. Vedeshu durlavama durlavama atma bhakti bhaktau nivritti pravritti marga mentioned by Vedas. But Vedas don't know adurlabham atma bhaktau. They can't, bhakti marga is inaccessible to Vedas, or at least it is hidden in Vedas. It is there, so it is hidden. They don't openly speak about it. Okay, anything else anybody wants to ask? I can't hear anything.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dhanavat Pranam. Very, very beautiful class, Prabhu. Thank you so much. Is there anybody having any more questions for Prabhuji?
Somebody asked something. Supriya from Texas. I don't know whether she asked or what.
Who is that, Prabhuji?
Supriya, she typed something. Check now.
Okay, Supriya, Texas. Okay. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. There is a question, Prabhuji. If discriminate devotees is aparadha, who is good devotee and who is jimanic devotee?
What's that? What's the question? If discriminate devotee is aparadha?
Yeah, aparadha. Who is a good devotee and who is a demonic devotee?
Discrimination is not aparadha, by the way. We have to discriminate. That's what I was telling. We have to discriminate between good devotee, bad devotee, non-devotee. We need to have discrimination. People who don't have discrimination, they are neophytes. That is why Mahaprabhu says, Sunipuna. Elevated devotees are Sunipuna. They can discriminate by their Viveka. By using their good discrimination. Vivek, not Buddhi. Buddhi has Vivek, but. So discrimination is not a pratha. Not discriminating is a pratha. And so you have to identify who is a good devotee, is a temperate devotee. Anywhere you see selfishness, he's not a good devotee. If a devotee is not having selfishness, he might be weak, he might not be perfect, but he'll be sincerely trying on this path without any selfishness, ahitukya prithyata, without any rewards, only to please Krishna. He might out of habit do some wrong things, but then he repents and he wants to advance and make himself pure. He's a good. I mean to say, you see, devotion is not just by, so devotion is not judged by quantity and quality also. It's not quantity and quality. That devotee is 100% in quantity in devotion is a good devotee, or 100% in quality. No, we can never be in 100% quantity and 100% quality. What we see is 100% desire to follow this path. If he has 100% desire to follow this path, he might slip, but then he again comes back. He might slip, he again comes back. And he wants to follow 100%. That is a qualification of good devotee. And a bad devotee, demoniac, bad devotees, his desire is having loopholes. He doesn't, his quantity might be 90%, quality might be 80%. He's chanting very nicely, Krishna, Krishna. But inside, he doesn't have desire to follow this. It's mixed. There's a lacuna. He doesn't want to follow this path. He's not a good devotee. The less the desire, the less good devotee is. And demoniac devotee is whose desire is something else from it. Externally, he's chanting, but his desire is, I want to marry a foreigner. That's why he's there. But externally, he's showing, I'm chanting. Or I just want to sustain my life. At least, instead of doing job, I'm in the temple. You know, I'm getting food and shelter. That's okay. I have to chant something. Let's chant. That's a demoniac in the Gaur property. Like that, we decide. By desire. Okay, so we'll end up here.
Thank you, Prabhuji, once again for the beautiful question answer session and nice class. I would like to offer my obeisances to you and all the Vaishnavas assembled on the call. Vancha Kalpa Tarupyasya Kripa Sindhu Pyai Vacha Pratidanam Pavani Pyo Vaishnavi Pyo Namo Nama Ananta Koti Vaishnavind Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai His Grace Keshavananda Prabhuji Ki Jai. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Thank you. Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you.
Thank you, Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Krishna, Krishna, thank you.